Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
The liberal globalist order is at its brink and awakening a new conservative age. I'm Dr. Steve Turley. Join me every day as we discover answers to today's toughest challenges and explore the revitalization of conservative civilization. This is Turley Talks. What happens when a beloved professor tries to warn college students that Charlie Kirk's assassination might be the spark that ignites America's next civil war? The answer will shock you, and it reveals exactly how divided we've become. Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your Patriot professor, here to help you make sense of the madness as the far left desperately tries to stop the unstoppable rise of a new conservative age all over the world. So if you want a front row seat on how you are changing the world in ways you never even imagined, make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. Also, if you haven't heard the great news, we have a little surprise for all of you. I've started a new channel. That's right. If you're looking for clear, powerful insights to make sense of the world in just under around 60 seconds, check out our brand new Turley Clips channel. These are short, inspiring takes that help you think clearly so you can live courageously, rooted in timeless truths and hopeful trends. And I would really appreciate if you would go on over there right now and subscribe and then share it with your friends. Just click on that link below or search Turley Clips on YouTube and be sure to subscribe so you're always grounded and always ready. All right, so this is Professor Sam Richards. Now, from what I understand, he is a bit of a rock star progressive on Penn State University, and he would ordinarily be, at least, again, reportedly, on the front lines of every student protest in body and spirit. Again, this is just some stuff I've read. And yet something seems to have happened to the good professor in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination. The day after he was gunned down, now keep in mind, the day after he was gunned down at a university, right? This Penn State professor stood before his packed classroom of several hundred students with a dire warning. Now, what unfolded in that lecture hall wasn't just another college discussion. It was a chilling preview of how America's next generation views political violence and why we might be closer to civil war than anyone wants to admit.
What happens next? Okay, now what? Where are we going? Okay, so go ahead. Go forward, and then go one more. And it led me here. You know, violence or the threat of violence against civilians to achieve some political goal. So 9/11 is terrorism. What happened yesterday, the killing of Charlie Kirk, is terrorism. So, huh. I have my own thoughts when I think about this question of, okay, what's next? What's going to happen next? Where are we going to go? I have my own thoughts. But I'm of a different generation. So I really don't want to hear my thoughts. I want to hear your thoughts.
Well, let's just say he asked for it. Now, for many of you, the students' responses may, in a sense, be even more terrifying than the assassination itself, because it evidences just how utterly sick our society has become. Keep in mind, what you're about to hear is coming from college students. These aren't members of some isolated remote cult. These aren't young people raised in the harsh conditions where it's killed or be killed. These are as mainstream people as you can possibly get who availed themselves of our public schools, our universities, our legacy media, and our social media. And what you're about to hear is as mainstream as mainstream gets, and it's pretty shocking.
Do you have?
I do. I think another fear is maybe someone taking it upon themselves to handle his unfinished business, because I'm sure a lot of people that supported Charlie Kirk feel like, oh, he's gone too soon, he wasn't done, like the things he was pushing, you know, he was making change. Other people may feel the need to echo him or carry on the rhetoric he was pushing, and I don't think that's beneficial at all.
Absolutely astonishing. Other people may feel the need to echo him or carry on the rhetoric he was pushing, and I don't think that's beneficial at all. At all. Now, you see, this is what is technically called radical perspectivalism, which is just a fancy schmancy way of referring to a collective point of view that assumes that that perspective represents the whole of reality, particularly moral reality. So radical perspectivalism is a moral absolutism that cannot entertain any other possible moral perspective other than its own. So radical perspectivalism conflates one's point of view, particularly one's moral perspective, with a totalizing picture of reality. And so if anyone diverges from that point of view, they're not just diverging from facticity. They're by definition evil, since what constitutes as good is exhausted in the liberal perspective. And so to carry on that rhetoric that Charlie was pushing is not beneficial at all, because it falls outside her radical perspectivalism. Now, fortunately, this professor pushed back on that. Check it out.
Okay, so wait. So for you, actually, so you're someone who, for the most part, there are many things that Charlie said that you would agree with.
That I would agree with?
For sure.
No.
Well, listen to what I said earlier. He said the guy was talking every single day, all just like me. I have thousands hours of video. He has probably 100,000 hours of video. There are things that he said that I will guarantee you would say, oh yeah, a lot of things that he said that you'd be like, yeah, that's actually a really good point, and that's a smart point, and that's good, that's bad, you know.
Oh, I'm sure, but with the context and with just everything altogether, Charlie Kirk as a whole, I know I do not agree with. He could say and have, you know, some clear points that are factually true or statistically true or morally true in rare cases, but that doesn't mean I agree with him and everything that he did. I wouldn't say I agree with
him. It's not everything. It's some things, right? And so,
sure.
And so that's just kind of like me. It's like anyone. And there's nothing that if you decided, hey, I'm going to pick up and do what Charlie Kirk did, or any of us in the classroom, right? And you would think, yeah, I got these really good ideas, and I'm going to push them forward. Immediately, you just start saying things that, you know, you think are really thoughtful and smart. And then, you know, half the people are like, oh, this person's a jerk, you know, like whatever. And so I get what you're saying. Like, you have your own kind of personal vision of the world, and, you know, but you also understand that,
yeah.
Right? Okay. All right. That's fair.
So kudos to that prof. It wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but he at least got her to acknowledge the absurdity of a radical perspectivalism that refuses to tolerate any dissent. The fact that this girl can agree often with someone she overwhelmingly disagrees with underscores that dissent and disagreement are indeed part of civil discourse. So it appears that she may have learned something. Or did she?
White ones. We've got clear ones.
Tons of microplastics wash ashore all over the world every day. And now for the first time, scientists in the Netherlands have detected microplastic pollution in human blood.
All the microplastics and nanoplastics we are exposed to, we inhale and we ingest, that actually, you know, there's too much, so much plastic that it can even enter our bloodstream.
The Dutch study on blood samples from healthy adults detected tiny plastic particles in 80% of people.
There is a microplastic crisis poisoning every American in some way, shape, or form. They're in our food, our water, our meats, our proteins. In fact, according to a recent study, we now ingest 6 times more microplastics than in 1990. It's wreaking havoc on our health and our organ functions, and unfortunately, no one is immune from this. But there is an amazing solution. There's a unique bacterial strain found only in kimchi that's been found to effectively degrade microplastics. In fact, traditional kimchi is one of the world's most powerful superfoods. But let's be honest, it's messy. It's strong smelling, right? Not exactly easy to eat every single day. So that's why our good friends over at Brightcore created Kimchi One. Now, you can get all the benefits of premium fermented kimchi, but now in a convenient capsule form. No mess, no taste, no hassle. I've been taking Kimchi One every single day for months now, and I love it. Each capsule delivers over 900 probiotic strains, live enzymes, and antioxidants that help restore balance in your gut. People are seeing improvements in digestion, bloating, regularity, energy, metabolism. Studies show that kimchi even reduces the risk of obesity. Kimchi One is all natural, non-GMO, and 100% made right here in the USA. It's completely dairy-free, gluten-free, soy-free. So just about anyone can take it. I personally love knowing that I'm supporting my gut and overall health in one simple step. If you've been looking for a way to boost your immune system and remove microplastic toxins from your body, gang, this is it. You can get 25% off your order by going to the link below, or for an even better deal, call my friends at Brightcore, and they're going to give you up to 50% off plus free shipping. Give them a call at 888-597-0233. The first 100 callers to order are going to get a free bottle of vitamin D3. Again, you only get the 50% off and free shipping when you give them a call. Once again, that number is 888-597-0233.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I just would like to know in what ways he showed that he was changing his mind, or maybe he showed some progression in his thinking. Because she made a very good point. It was prove me wrong, but it was never for the benefit. Like being able to look at someone with an opposing opinion and say, I take no offense, it's not hating on me, it's your opinion, it's your stance, I respect it, is something he did rarely. And I think even again, in relation to who he was talking to, he's 31 or correct?
Yeah.
He's in his 30s arguing with college students and pushing a fake wrong narrative. I'm going to listen to you. No, you're not.
No, here. I'll tell you how I know that he shifted his thinking. Because you cannot be engaged with human beings in the way that he was and the way that I am day after day after day. You cannot engage at that level and shift the way you see the world. And I listened to the complexity of his arguments over time, and I'm like, yeah, that dude's like, these things are getting to him.
So do you think he progressed in his thinking? In what ways did he show progression? And again, you know, I mean, at one level, I kind of get what she's saying. She's just saying, did he change his mind or opinion? But that term progression, I mean, I couldn't help but think of this whole notion of progressive realism when I heard that. We talk a lot about this on this channel, as we ought to, progressive realism. And that is this ideology, a frankly radical ideology, that assumes that the arc of history invariably and inevitably always ends up bending towards the less version of social justice. It really took off during the Obama years. It's actually rooted in Frank Fukuyama's end of history thesis from the early 90s. So it preceded Obama. And that Fukuyama basically argued the whole of human history was culminating in a single political and economic theory, namely liberal democracy. It was a breathtaking thesis. It was very, very popular after the fall of the Soviet Union. And what it did, ironically, is it actually borrowed from Marx and his appropriation of Hegelian idealism. But the notion was that all of the dialectics of the different political and economic visions of life historically eventually will coalesce and meet in a single political and economic system known as liberal democracy. That's his end of history thesis, meaning that history is marked by the progression of these ideas towards this ultimate liberal goal. And so progressive realism is just an overall conception that the arc of history inevitably bends towards a liberal vision of social justice. And like I said, it really took off in the Obama years, and it just ended up flooding our nation's cultural institutions during that time, most particularly our legacy media through what's called advocacy journalism, our entertainment industry, our universities, our professions, right? Just like what we've been seeing coming from the morbid celebrations this week among doctors and teachers and educators and elected officials, right? And this is the stuff that literally every single student is daily indoctrinated in. That's what you just, in effect, heard slip out there. That we're all expected to progress. And of course, that progress is only acknowledged when it moves in a singular direction, and that's to the political left. And that's because from the vantage point of progressive realism, the right, the political right by definition, obstructs history. The political right by definition is interruptive of history. That's why for the legacy media and their advocacy journalism, the Democrats are always innocent until proven guilty, and Republicans are always guilty until proven innocent. This is why Democrats are always given the benefit of the doubt, and Republicans are always met with skepticism and suspicion. Now, again, we should note here that what Professor Richards witnessed in his classroom was not just an academic discussion. It was a preview of America's future. When college students can't acknowledge that assassinating someone for their political views is absolutely and totally and unequivocally wrong, regardless of their beliefs, regardless of whether they progress, we've crossed a very, very dangerous line. Those students who immediately rush to blame guns rather than ideology, there was plenty of that in that classroom, or to dismiss Charlie's mission as inherently harmful, these aren't just academic opinions. They're the beliefs of ideological radicals. Those radicalized by a culture that's been taken over by a vile and vicious progressivism. We stand at a crossroads. We can choose the path of Charlie Kirk, debate, discussion, deliberation, the messy but essential work of democracy. Or we can follow the path his assassin chose, terrorism, where political differences are settled with violence and dissent is silenced with bullets. This professor, to his well-deserved credit, tried to warn his students. The question is, will they listen before it's too late? What do you guys think? I want to hear it from you. You're the ones who are changing the world. Make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button, but make sure to give me your opinion of what you think about what you just saw there in the comments down below. And also make sure to give our good friends over at Brightcore a phone call. That kimchi one, guys, I take it every day. I love it, and you're going to love it too. Make sure to click on that link below or give them a call at the phone number down below. God bless, guys.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Turley Talks podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and share this episode with your friends. Help us defeat the fake news media and rank as the number one news and commentary podcast all over the world. Come back again tomorrow for another episode celebrating the rise of a new conservative age.